Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey Fleck and Chad Markowitz here, your host for the weekend's edition. Also your host on our website, kereport.com, and podcast, The KE Report, throughout the week, recording market updates on any market moves that are noteworthy, as well as company updates from a wide range of mostly resource stocks that we follow. On this weekend show, we're going to stick a lot to the market simply because, well, we clearly seem to still be in very much a bull market. We're kicking off this show with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago, also editor of the Lyons Share Pro website, which we will link to within our website and podcast postings. Dana, let's start off with the S&P 500. Earlier this week, it has made a run to almost 5,000. Seems like almost day after day, the markets are putting in new all-time highs. The pullbacks have been relatively shallow, at least throughout this year, the first about month and a half here. Dana, are we getting close to any sort of a top for the markets?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Short answer, I don't see it. I don't see a top, but we do definitely see some areas of concerns, and certainly those areas are not have probably been widely spoken about and widely shared and recognized, and that mostly has to do with some of the divergences in breadth, small cap divergences, the internals kind of weakening, and that certainly is going on, and it has impacted our what we call an intermediate term risk model, which basically orients us whether we're aggressively bullish or very defensive. And right now it is still, our model is still constructive, but it has weakened quite a bit. It's not roaring higher like it was in November, December, but given the breathless, no pun intended, commentary on the weak breath of late, it's, I think, noteworthy to see that our indicators, our models have held up so far. So I think we would be seeing more of a weakening, more of a deterioration there in our models if a top was at hand. So I would say right now there are concerns, genuine concerns about breadth and the divergences in the broader market and the small caps, but not enough to have us running for the exits necessarily or looking for a near-term market top, especially with, you know, as you mentioned, the chart action, the price action, and especially the large caps, but really not a narrow array of market segments. There are plenty of good charts out there still, and plenty to choose from, even if you do have some concerns about some of the lagging of the small caps.
Well, Dana, let's dive into the small caps just briefly, because people have given that a lot of airtime when they talk about the market breadth, that we were seeing really good moves in the small caps, like you say, out of that October low into November and December, big rally there, have been laggards here. One school of thought is that you just want to stick with the sector leaders, that they're the ones that are going to keep outperforming, and that the small caps may be dead money for a while. But you had mentioned off mic that, you know, that doesn't necessarily have to be the case. This is not the same kind of setup we were seeing in July where everything was forced into a very narrow band. There is a lot of stuff working, and maybe it's just the small caps taking a breather. What do you make of the Russell 2000 right now?
Absolutely. And obviously the performance of the small caps, especially the Russell since the beginning of the year, has left a lot to be desired. And the divergence is that the lower high that we've got in place right now is certainly concerning. But as you mentioned, it doesn't necessarily, especially with our models still positive, doesn't necessarily, you know, mean you stick a fork in them. It could just be, okay, things got a little bit extended. The small caps got a little bit ahead of themselves going into the new year, needed a breather. And now, just like in November, when the small caps rotated into some leadership, it's possible that they rotate into some leadership again. I mean, Lord knows the large cap averages can't, you know, carry the entire burden by themselves. And given the fact that many of the indicators have held up, even with some of the weakening in the breath, have held up okay so far. It's possible that the small caps and the broader market does reemerge and help contribute to another extension higher in that post-October bull market. So is it the divergence concerning? Yeah. Do I stick a fork in the small caps right now? No, especially with some of the late week, I'd say, rebound. Some of the levels that did end up holding in the Russell 2000 gives those small caps some hope of, again, rotating back into, if not leadership, at least a good participant in the rally.
Dane, I find this so interesting. That sounds like you're seeing way more opportunities out there than the bears saying, well, it's only being led by the Magnificent Seven. Care to share with us any of the other sectors that you see maybe as being some of the best right now?
Sure. And like you mentioned, it's a far cry from what we were seeing last July, in which all you had was a handful of mega cap stocks, tech stocks really leading the way. Now, you know, there's a wide array of areas that are still working, whether it's, you know, technology obviously is working well. You got the industrials and obviously all the mega caps, the large caps, but the industrial space working pretty well. Home builders are working well. And then you go overseas, there are plenty of opportunities overseas, especially on the currency adjusted basis, whether it's Japan, many of the European indices. People might be surprised that are hitting new all-time highs or 52-week highs. So you have an opportunity there. Opportunities in India, which continues to hit new highs. Even, you know, we've held this Argentina fund for a while. That's consolidating near all-time highs and maybe setting up another leg higher right now. So, like I said, there's the breadth, the internals have not been strong over the last 6 weeks or so, but there are still plenty of what we would call relative strength worthy, investable worthy segments out there in the market. So we have plenty of long positions still on hand right now.
Well, Dana, it's nice to go around the world and see that there's opportunities abroad as well as domestically. But if we just drill down again into some more sectors within the U.S. equities, obviously tech has been carrying the torch, and there's no doubt about it. The tech stocks, especially the large tech stocks, have just been on a huge rip higher. We've had some guests on that have been mentioning things like healthcare, insurance, defense, cybersecurity, different areas that they think haven't maybe run as much as tech, but still present a good window of opportunity. Are you seeing anything in those kind of sectors, maybe more in the value side of the equation as much as the growth side?
Yeah, well, you mentioned some right there. You know, cybersecurity has been good. Obviously, the semiconductors have been leadership, but software is emerging in the tech space. Outside of that, some of the value stuff, like you mentioned, insurance has been running to new highs for a while now. It's kind of under the radar. So that we like positions that are under the radar that are still hitting new highs. That it tells us that there's more potential. There's more money. Once that story does get out, there's plenty of money that can rotate into those areas. So those types of things. And there are a couple others. We got other funds that we own, aerospace and defense, which is consolidating in all-time high ground. Another one, I know the consumer staples have lagged, but they've been emerging very recently, along with healthcare, like you mentioned. Some of the small cap consumer staples, I think, might be ready to take off as well. And then something like uranium that's been on a big run, kind of consolidating right here after a nice pop near the former highs. And once that consolidation over, I think we could see another leg up in that space as well. So, like I said, there's no shortage of fairly attractive looking investment opportunities out there, despite, again, some of the weakening or diverging breadth numbers that we've seen of late.
Man, oh man, you are outlining a lot of positive factors out here that I think investors need to take note of. What about the financial sector, though? Because, again, it's a lot of what some people look at and say, well, we could see some more issues with the financial sector, something that happened early on last year, which did cause a short-term shock to the market. How do you view the health of the financials?
Maybe different than some a lot of the other commentators that I've at least heard, not on your show, but elsewhere. Just I think regional banks, the struggles in the regional banks have maybe taken over the talking points as far as the financials go. But if you look at some of the broader indices like the bank index or some of the broad financial type ETFs, I think they're in fine shape still. They've been kind of consolidating as well, that strong move they had in the fourth quarter of last year, but still holding up, not necessarily breaking down. So that's not, to us, that's not an unhealthy thing. That's more of a healthy situation that could be setting up another break higher. And again, you look within the space, you look at the insurance space, continues to run to new highs. So there are definitely areas within that space that you can either that we'd be holding, like insurance, or even that we might take a stab at buying here into a pullback, including some of the broader financial funds out there that, again, if we are going to have another leg up, they have held up okay despite the recent weakness. And what we want to do at the end of the day is buy funds, buy securities that are in uptrends, but buy them when they pull back in the short term, the more attractive entry point. So you could argue that that's where some of the financial things are right now.
Well, Dana, when you take a look at the bond market, or the converse of that, the interest rate market, what is your outlook, I guess, in the short term? And then I know you have a different view for the longer term.
Yeah, bond yields are extremely interesting right now. You know, we think the long bull market, 60-year bull market, or a 60-year cycle, I should say, topped in 2020. The yields, the bear market yields, bottomed in 2020. So I think we go up for many years or many decades to come. But the first level, if we're talking about the 10-year, the first big retracement level from the top in the 80s was around that 4% level. So around where we are now, you know, we saw that breakout in the third quarter last year, ran higher. Now we pulled back in the fourth quarter, pulled back. And since the start of the year, we've been undergoing a very interesting test of that 4%-ish level right now. And I think the jury is still out as to whether it holds this level and provides a springboard for another big leg higher in yields and obviously lower in bond prices, or if it does break down, that sets the stage for a false breakout and yields could pull back substantially in the short term, you know, despite our long-term view. You know, nothing goes in a straight line. So I would say the jury is still out. One thing that I've mentioned on the show before that I think bonds had going for them is the huge volume that we saw in the fourth quarter last year when they were bottoming and when they were rallying. And then we've kind of cooled off since the start of the year. But if that volume has any merit, could speak to a false breakout in yields and a big pullback eventually again in yields and could lead to another nice rally.
Man, oh man, look at that volume in Q4 and even heading into this year. That is impressive. I'm looking at the TLT chart. Let's also talk about gold stocks. We do like to get your technical outlook on those. Something like GDX or GDXJ. Very much still just trading within this range. So you can argue it's been in going back to 2022. Dana, what are you seeing? Are you playing GDX or GDXJ at all?
Yeah, we've held a position, a smaller position in GDX as well as some of the silver miners for a while. There's not a lot to get excited about, to be honest, right now. I wish I had something different to say. Our excitement is certainly a little bit more elevated in gold itself. We think we're setting the stage for a major breakout. I think others are seeing that as well, which maybe once you know observers forget about gold, that's when we break out again. But I think technically, you look at the charts, I think it is setting the stage for another breakout and a big leg higher, which obviously should pull the miners along for the ride. When that happens, when that kicks off, I'm not exactly sure, but certainly we've been consolidating for a while. That rally that we saw couple of years ago, really 4 years or so, that we've been moving sideways. So I think that's coming, and I think the miners will go with it. So we are holding smaller positions in those miners stocks or funds, and treating it more or less as a call option right now, because I think it does go eventually. But it's just a matter of getting maybe gold to break out and then pulling those miners along with them.
Well, Dane, another sector that a lot of folks on our site follow is the energy space, oil and nat gas and the related stocks. How are you looking at the energy sector?
Staying away from the Widowmaker, nat gas. They call it the Widowmaker for a reason. So not too interested there at the moment. Crude oil, it's kind of like I look at a lot of charts every day. It's funny how similar charts of the different asset classes look outside of the equity space, you know. You look at that, whether it's the bond yields, you look at the dollar, you look at some like crude oil, you look at some of the cryptos. A lot of it's been in a trading range and flipping up or down above or below certain pivot levels. So kind of at the end of the day, it's pretty much range bound, and it's hard to get super excited either way. And so it's hard to get super aggressive either way in those markets that are pretty much range bound. So crude oil, I would say I would put in that category. It seemed to break down below some pivot levels on the charts. We did short it for a bit, might be trying to recover that level now. So in all those markets, all those range bound markets, my advice, I guess, would be keep your position sizing small. Until you have like a clear trend emerging, a clear indication of a trendy market, whether it's up or down. Because right now, as we're stuck in the range, it's hard to get, again, hard to be too confident about moves up or down when it keeps whipping back and forth within the range.
That's an interesting comment. Keep your position smaller. Well, we've actually seen lower volume in a lot of these other sectors in terms of the ETFs. What about Bitcoin too, Dana? Bitcoin has been on a bit of a wild ride after the ETF approval that pushed it back lower, but it's starting to recover as we're recording this, right around 45,000. Broadly, it's just been holding above 40,000 since December. Is this a consolidation building for potentially a bigger move higher?
It's possible. For us, the overriding factor right now is the top back in, you know, the end of 2021, around 70,000. You take the 61 retracement of the down move into the lows in 2022. That's right around that 48,000 level, right where we topped out last month. So I would say until that level is decisively overtaken, I would say that puts a ceiling on the market right now. So if we are consolidating, I would say that would be the high end of the range. And I think right now, probably the low end where I try to take a stab on the long side might be down around that 36,000 level. So that's another market, though, we're kind of right in the middle of the range that it's been in for at least the last couple of months. But I would say, again, that 48,000-49,000 level, until that is decisively, you know, cracked, I would have a hard time being too aggressive on the long side there.
All right, Dan, that'll wrap us up here. Thank you so much for taking time and sharing how you are playing and even viewing a wide range of sectors. Big takeaway for me being, look, there are a lot of opportunities out there right now, and we have seen broad averages continue to move higher into all-time highs and continue past those. So clearly a bull market as of right now, but hey, we chat with you every few weeks, so we'll see if anything changes next time we chat. Dana, thanks for taking time with us on this weekend show.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, guys.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.